I'm only going to read one passage of scripture this morning. You have it in your Bibles in Hebrews 9:27. But I want to give you the heads up. In the passage, there'll be some lengthy sermon scriptures that we'll turn to. So if you want to get ahead and put your finger in Luke 16 and then Luke in Acts chapter 5, we'll also be in Acts chapter 7, but we'll be in Luke 16, Acts 5, and Acts 7, and we'll be reading lengthy passages that go along with the outline. But for this morning, just for our text, before our special music comes to sing for us, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. The Bible says, as it appointed unto man once to die. Dear friends, there's no do-overs. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. The topic of this morning's message is, how will you die? If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke 16. We'll read that passage of scripture in just a moment. But the thought and the question, how will you die? As I mentioned earlier, I was reminded of all the things my dear wife does for me and for our family while she has been laid up and caring for her. But at the same time, while we're there, Michelle and I had an opportunity and we had a discussion in reference to the hospital. How late should I stay and going home? And she wanted me to go home and make sure that I could rest. And at the same time, she also didn't want me to stay because she knew, as I mentioned this morning, that no one else would sleep if I was there without my CPAP machine. And so because I suck the paint off the ceiling when I sleep. But I tell you, either way, even going home, I was fatigued. But while she was there, Michelle and I spoke a few things, and most nights while she was there, Michelle was so burdened, and she shared some things with me, and I was burdened, and I felt the Lord directed me to this passage to preach this morning, as we were reminded of some things, not just me being reminded of how much my wife does for me and for our family at home, but what the Lord has done for us. And dear friends, there's different categories of people here this morning, and I'll circle back with this, is that you're here this morning, and you're saved, and you're on your way, you're heaven, and you know it, and you're right with God. Then there's the other category of people that are saved and you know it and you're taking as a license of sin and you're not right with God. Sorry, it is what it is. Number three, you're here and you're not saved. You're pretending, you're a church member, but you've never really repented of your sins and trusted Christ as your Savior. And there's that other category, those that just never even had an opportunity to hear the gospel. Michelle shared with me at the hospital what brought her and put such a burden on her heart is every night as it got dark, the lights were out. Michelle lights a dark room. I mean, we don't even have a digital clock. It's got to be pitch dark. And as some other, you may feel the same way, she likes it dark. But her mind in some ways is changing just a little bit. She said every night when it got dark, after you went home, the late light shift came in, and in many aspects she felt like it was so hard for the nurses to keep up, that she could hear the groaning and people in pain in the hospital. And the Lord reminded her, she can't help but to think what hell's going to be like. And dear friends, sometimes I think we need to be reminded of what it's going to be like. Heaven's a glorious place. I can't wait to get there. Now, I'm not ready to get on the bus today. Don't misunderstand me. I feel like some more things I want to do, but I'm ready to go. But there's also some folks that need to be reminded and be warned of what hell just is like. She said it burdened her heart so much, the Lord spoke to my heart. And the rest of the time I was in the hospital, she witnessed, talked to, handed out cards that we have here. She took them with her to the hospital and invited each and every nurse and orderly and doctor that came in to treat her. She invited the church and shared her faith, and they gave her time. She was under such conviction to hear those that were in torment and pain and thinking that's only temporary. Lord willing, they will get some medication. Lord willing, they'll get better just like her. I'm hurting, I'm in pain, and Lord willing, these things will get better. But dear friends, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, is appointed unto man once to die and after this to judgment. There's no do-overs. Once you're gone, the Lord takes you. There's no more, well, Lord, I'm sorry, I want to get right. Oh, Lord, no, I believe now. And the Bible is very clear about that. But we as Christians need to celebrate that we know that we know that we know that we're saved. But what about those who do not know? Are we doing our part in sharing our faith, telling them about Christ, reminding them of maybe something they've heard before, or even the Christian has gotten away from the Lord? Dear friends, don't misunderstand me. I love going to the ball games. And the first time I ever went, it was in the nosebleed section. And the best seats I ever had was on the 50-yard line at a bowl game a few years ago. I tell you, guess which one I would like to go back to? But dear friends, when it comes to going to heaven, I tell you what, I want a front seat. I don't want to feel like and feel ashamed because I have not filled for the Lord. I don't want to be in the nosebleed sections of my mind and my heart because I have not honored the Lord the way I know that I should have. I'm just glad I got here. I think we need more Christians that are more concerned about rejoicing here and celebrating what the Lord has done for them. Let's look at Luke. We're going to look at four things this morning in reference to four characters in our Bible and how they died. Number one, we're going to look at the rich man. He died unprepared. The rich man died unprepared. Luke chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in verse number 19. The Bible says, "There was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his fingers in water and to cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said unto him, Remember that thou in thy lifetime received the good things in light. Likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all these, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass from to us that would come to from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come also into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, for if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Dear friends, the rich man died unprepared here according to the word of God. He had prepared to live. He was wealthy. He had all the riches of the world, but the rich man had not made preparations to die. He had rejected Christ. He desired worldly things, dear friends. And dear friends, as I mentioned before, there are no second chances. Even those in hell believe now and would like the torment to be gone away, but even more so to someone to go tell their loved ones. And dear friends, we have the opportunity to tell others about Christ. You have a loved one who doesn't know the Lord, who lives in another area. Say, Lord, help me to reach someone else's loved one where I live, and I'll trust you to reach my loved ones in another state. The rich man here died unprepared. He had not made preparations. But here we see the rich man in hell, but the beggar in heaven. The rich man, as I mentioned, unprepared in hell, separated from God. Yet the Bible says the beggar who was prepared was in heaven. Dear friends, that tells me that the social status has nothing to do with salvation. It makes no difference, as the song says, red, yellow, black, or white. And may I add, whether you're hillbilly or city slicker, it makes no difference. We approach the throne of God the same way. It makes no difference of our status. It makes no difference where we came from. It makes no difference how much we have and how much we have not. There's only one way, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you have never trusted Christ, you're listening via radio or through our website, if you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, you're in the same classification right here as a rich man. You are unprepared. And what will you do about being prepared? The Bible is very simple. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But dear friends, there's a little hitch in there as well. There must be repentance. There must be repentance. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear friends, you can have all the information, all the wealth. You can even be a church member and bust hell wide open. Has nothing to do with our status, has nothing to do with membership. But has there been a time in your life you realize your sinful condition, realize you needed Christ, turned from your sin, turned to Christ, and trusted Him as your personal Savior? That's all that it took. He believes now, but it's too late. Number two, the rich man died unprepared. Acts chapter number 5, Ananias died unclean. Acts chapter number 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. But a certain name man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine and thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? And thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these sayings. And the young men arose around him and carried him out and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have which has buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her forth buried by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as ye heard these sayings. Dear friends, don't misunderstand here. The story has nothing to do with them giving all and requiring that you give all. What it's saying is that she and her husband lied. They died unclean. They were living a lie. They were pretending to be something. They wanted the recognition of all that they did. They wanted that pat on the back. Ananias and Sapphira, again, had sold their land for so much. They brought that money and laid it at the apostles' feet and said, it's all that we have. So to say, they laid it at the Lord's feet and said, it's all that we have. And they agreed to hold back. See, he was professing full dedication, full surrender. Oh, yeah, I sold my property. This is all the money that I've received. See, there, friends, it is one thing to sing, I surrender all, but it's another thing to be surrendered. It's not the matter of how much they gave or how much they didn't give. It's just they lied to the church. They lied to the Holy Ghost. They died and put themselves in a position of not just dying unprepared as a rich man, but they died unclean. Dear friends, we have enough Christians today that are pretending to be more than they are that is hurting the cause of Christ. How many people out there will never know the truth, will never darken the door because of a Christian who pretends to be one thing on Sunday and lives like the devil Monday through Saturday? Dear friends, something has to change as believers. We need to do all that we can to live for Christ and to serve the Lord and give all that we have for Him. If you were to die this morning, would you die unclean? Dear friends, 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear friends, all they had to do is do their part and give whatever they wanted, but to lie or to deceive. And dear friends, how many people may be pushed into hell because of our lack of a consistent, truthful testimony for the Lord? Hypocrite, professing to be a good Christian when you know you're not. Envy, strife, bitterness, and hatred that's in your heart. If your heart is cold and hard, how can you be an effective witness for Christ? If you have unprofessed sin in your life, how can you go on and serve the Lord and having that unprofessed sin in your life? Why not relieve the guilt, relieve the burden, and just get things right with God? Get things right with your fellow Christians. Get things right with the local church, whatever it is in your case. You see, unprofessed sin in your life, if you die today, would you die an unclean Christian? How is our testimony? Unprepared, unclean. Are we living a life holy, separated unto the Lord? Are we hiding sins in our life? Are we concealing things? My wife and her mother have such a relationship that when she calls her mom, Michelle knows how her mother's feeling by the sound of her voice. And many of you have that same relationship with your mothers or your spouse. And the same thing with her mom. She knows how she's feeling. It doesn't matter if Michelle says, oh, I'm doing fine. I feel really good, Mom. Well, sweetheart, you're in pain, aren't you? She can just tell by the sound of her voice, the measure, the octave change, whatever it is, I don't know. And dear friends, in the same way, the Lord knows. When we think we're deceiving others, we're not deceiving Him. He knows. And friends, I don't know about you. I want to do all I can to keep short accounts. If I've offended anyone in our church, and if I know about it and understand, I'm happy to ask for forgiveness. I want to make things right. But more important than that, I want to keep short accounts with my Lord. There's nothing between me and the Lord. I've given this illustration 100 times, but let me share it one more time before we go to the next point. When I was in Bible college, we had to write some papers in our class about marriage and relationships. And one of the things that we had to write is we had to talk about our relationship with God, our relationship with our family, our relationship with our employer, our relationship with our church, our relationship with our children. Tell you what I learned. It's easy to be right out here when I'm right here. But it's impossible to be right here when I'm not right out here. And dear friends, we cannot be right with God and not right with one another. We cannot be right with one another unless we're right with God. We're pretending to be something we are not when we say we're a Christian and living like the devil in secret. Dear friends, it happens. But I tell you what, oh, the relief when we get it right and come to the Lord. I've never been in service in my life. Never. When somebody came forward to get right with God, where people said, oh yeah, it's about time. No, they rejoiced. They were encouraged that a sinner has come home and they got it right. And dear friends, I do not want to be the one. I do not want to be guilty of somebody not coming to the Lord because of my testimony or my lack thereof, pretending to be something that I am not. Number three, Judas died unfaithful. One of the 12 disciples, but he was not saved. John probably could have used a better word here, but it kind of goes with the outline. John chapter 6 and verse 70, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Referring to Judas. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 14 through 16, he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then in Matthew chapter 27, he hung himself. And he died unfaithful, pretending to be something that he wasn't. Dear friends, do you know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? Again, it doesn't matter that you've been baptized. It doesn't matter that you're a member of a church. Have you trusted Christ? Have you repented of your sin? I have seen enough people, heard enough testimonies where people allowed Satan to discourage them. What will people think? Huh? You're the pastor's wife. Let me go a step further. You're the pastor. I've known pastors that got saved under their own preaching. I know others that got saved at a revival meeting. My pastor's wife got saved on a snowy Sunday morning when church was almost called off. And that's one reason my pastor never calls off church. For no reason. If you could get there, get there. If you can't, I understand, but I'll be there. Because on that snowy Sunday morning, his wife walked the aisle during the invitation, bawling all over the place. Somebody came by and said, "Pastor Ross, so what's wrong? What's wrong with your wife?" She went and spoke with her, and her response was, "I'm not going to hell for you or anyone else. I'm tired of pretending." And she trusted Christ as her personal Savior. You know, not one person got upset. Not one person said her pastor is disqualified. Not one person quit coming to the Sunday school class she was teaching. Folks, we can prepare and study and do a lot. In fact, the devil's pretty good. He knows the Word of God pretty well also. He tries to use it and twist Scripture all the time. And folks, being baptized, being in a church, what did Billy Sunday used to say? Walking into a garage doesn't make you a car any more than being a member of church makes you a Christian. So if you don't know that you're saved, there's not been a time in your life, according to the Word of God, that you saw your sinful condition, turned to Christ and trusted Him as your personal Savior, you will die as appointed unto man wants to die, and after this to judgment. You will die with no do-overs. And dear friends, hell is not a place. I don't care what the world thinks, there is no party in hell. I believe the Word of God, and it says they were in torment. Please send someone to my family. Please. And dear friends, we have the awesome responsibility and privilege to tell others about Christ and to live out our faith. We have to decide as a believer, I am going to live for the Lord. I am not going to die unprepared as a rich man. I am not going to die as a Christian unclean. I am not going to die as Judas as being unfaithful, pretending to be something he is not. I don't know what category you're in. And if you're saved and on your way to heaven, praise God. But I think we need to be reminded once in a while. We need to be reminded of what the Bible says. Number four, Stephen died unafraid. Acts chapter 7. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Acts chapter 7. We'll just read two verses of Scripture. Verse 58, excuse me, three. I can't count this morning. Four verses of Scripture. Stephen died unafraid. Oh, how we need more Stephens in our world today. Bible says in Acts chapter 7, beginning of verse number 58, and cast him out of the city and stoned him, referring to Stephen. And the witnesses laid their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul, who later became Paul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Dear Stephen died unafraid. He was still going to preach the gospel. You're not going to discourage me. You're not going to keep me from telling others. I don't care if you stone me. And even during his death, he's saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Dear friends, Stephen was a deacon. He spread the gospel, not gossip. He preached Jesus. He was stoned for preaching the very word of God. Dear friends, are you a witness? Would you be willing to do what it takes to tell others about Christ? We live in a time we might face cancel culture, but we're not going to face the stoning yet. I don't know what this world's going to come to, but we have every opportunity right now. Whether it be communism, wokeism, restrictions, the cancel culture, no witnessing, would this change your lifestyle? Would it affect you from witnessing to others? God help us to die unafraid. I had the privilege of meeting a gentleman by the name of Titos many years ago, who was Romanian, who fled Romania, came to America. I had the privilege of sitting down and having a meal with him, and he shared with me a little bit of a story. See, him and his wife had an underground church they were involved with, not the pastor, but a member of the church, smuggled Bibles in and out of the country, trying to get others and telling others about Christ, and had to meet in secrecy. The word got out, and they were coming after Titos and his family. Somehow they knew the police was coming. And the bad part about it is they had just received a shipment and had several boxes of Bibles in their home. And the police were on their way to lock him up and to take him to prison. They locked the doors to give him more time. He stopped for a moment and prayed, said, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. And his wife said, sweetheart, we've got to do something. He took all those Bibles and pushed them under the dining room table. Told his wife to get a longer a cloth that would cover from the top of the table to the floor. Set the table. His wife set the table. They come in banging on the door. Titos opened the door and welcomed them and said, what can I do for you, gentlemen? We know. You know why we're here. And they began to tear the house upside down while his wife continued to set the table and fix some breakfast. Tito turned to the commander and said, would you at least join us for a meal when you're finished? We must show good hospitality. We are Romanian. They got through tearing up the house. They sat down at that very table, just enough room to sit down under that seat without hitting those Bibles. And they sat down and ate breakfast, intimidating Tito and his family. God protected them. They got finished eating and they left. It wasn't much long after that they were able to get the Bibles out. Dear friends, this is a couple, a real story. I'm not just preaching, I'm telling the truth. This is a true story. They died eventually. To this day that I've heard, they lived in Chattanooga. Titos went home to be with the Lord. But they lived. They died. But most important, they lived unashamed. Dear friends, we don't face a persecution like that today. The worst we get is a few curse words and someone slamming the door in our face. We might get mocked a little bit, ridiculed a little bit. But tell you what, what's the old saying? Sticks and stones? Yeah, names do hurt, but not near as much as a stoning. Not near as much as a persecution. Not only Tito's, many other missionaries and local nationals around the world served in Siberian prisons as well as there in Romania for preaching the gospel. And many of those released only to go back to the church and preach the next Sunday to be arrested again. They died and they lived unashamed. Dear friends, we face a little bit of persecution. We face a few things, and we might be a little intimidated by cancel culture and other things, but I tell you what, dear friends, we need to be unashamed, but most importantly, we need to be unafraid. We need to be afraid. Hey, if God be for us, who shall be against us? Do what we can. You do not know the next young man that gets saved, the next young lady that gets saved, that God doesn't use them if he tarries his return to do great and mighty things in this country. We need to do all that we can while we can. Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Dear friends, how will you die? Unprepared like the rich man, lost without Christ. Unclean like Ananias and Sapphira, but living in sin, open sin. Unfaithful like Judas, who is lost and living a lie or pretending to be something he was not. Or Stephen, saved, a good example, a testimony, who died unafraid. And then number five, the Apostle Paul died unashamed. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Here's another one who's there at Stephen's stoning, who heard him cry out, who gave up the ghost, who was there at those coats that were thrown off. Saul was there as Saul, and now Paul recognized and remembered what he witnessed, remembered when he saw this young believer, this young deacon who died unafraid. And Paul says, bless God, when he met God, when he met the Lord on Damascus Road, I will serve him, and if when I die, I will die unashamed of the gospel. So Paul stood for Christ when it was not popular. The man that sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the man who was a man's man above all in education, who was educated, who was recognized in those circles, but he come face to face with a holy God and he turned to Christ for his salvation. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 24, Paul speaking of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, and journeyings often, and perils of waters, and perils of robbers, and perils of mine own countrymen, and perils of the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. In spite of all those things, and with all those things going on, I was still caring and responsible for the church. Dear friends, he died unashamed. Paul did not quit. He encouraged in spite of all his sufferings and in prison. And reading this context here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I don't know about you, it's pretty discouraging. You mean I'm going to go through all of that as a believer? No, we don't have to. Only the words, only the threat of cancel culture, only maybe some ridicule are being ostracized. Let me tell you what, friends and family may kick you out, but we won't kick you out here in this church family. If you're serving the Lord and want to live for him. Paul was eventually beheaded for his relentless faith. Dear friends, are you living a life that is unashamed of Christ? Are you living a life in such a way that people recognize there is something different about you? Are you living a life that's not only unafraid, but unashamed? Some of you men served in the military. Some of you served several years in the military. Some of us a few less years. And on my uniform, on one side it said U.S. Army. On the other side it said Cook, C-O-O-K. You know, I never walked around like this, ashamed of what branch I was in or what my name was. Never. Never. We cut up and teased, and I teased some of the other guys in other branches of service, but I respect every man, every woman who serves our U.S. military, no matter what branch of service they serve in. After all, you all can't be in the Army. But I have respect for every single one of them, and most of us that did serve are very grateful for the opportunity we had to serve. Some of us seen some things, involved some things, and had to be exposed to things and do some things that we wish we had not. But there's one thing about it. We're not ashamed of the branch that we served, but most importantly about the name that we carried on our uniform. And we as well should not be ashamed to carry the name or the title Christian. A follower of Christ, a believer, a child of God. We should live like we're unashamed, like we're proud to carry that name. Dear friends, how will you die? Miss Marlene, if you'll come to the piano. The rich man died lost. And Ananias and Sapphira, as believers, died unclean with sin in their life. Judas, lost and living a lie or pretending, died unfaithful, pretending to be something he was not. Stephen died knowing the Lord, unafraid, a good testimony, a good example. Paul set the bar for unashamed as he died unashamed. Let me go a step further. How will you live? How will you live? Let me encourage you. Be prepared. Are you saved and know it? If you have any doubts, even the slightest doubt, why not settle that today? Be clean. If you have sin in your life, confess 1 John 1:9. Ask the Lord to forgive you and allow Him to restore you. Be faithful. Serve Him. Live for Him. Be fearless for the Lord. Don't back down. Don't let the social media, don't let the government, don't let the politics of the world discourage you from speaking up for who you are in Christ. And then be bold for the Lord Jesus. Witness, tell others, warn others, and share with them what you know about Christ. Let's stand together with head bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around this morning. I have to ask this morning as our pianist begins to play as soon as she's ready. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt if you were to die today that you would go to heaven? If you have any doubt, any reservations, why not settle that today? Why take any risk without knowing? There's nothing wrong with confirmation or assurance of your salvation.